townhall.com.
Good morning. If you're at I-295 going south at Southside Boulevard, we're looking at a broken down car right now. 95 North and 8th Street, traffic's building. And if you're at I-10 headed toward the downtown area, right at around US 17, traffic is starting to back up. There's an 80% chance of thunderstorms today and a high of 88. This evening, early clouds, then clearing late. A 1 in 5 chance of rain tonight and a low of 74. Right now, it's 73 here at WBOB. And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. Governor Ron DeSantis signs legislation that makes it tougher to change the Florida Constitution through petition drives. After a decade-long pay freezes, congressional Democrats are looking to give Congress a pay increase. And the White House says they've accomplished a big victory dealing with Mexico and illegal border crossings.
Contact the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 WBOB. By calling a new number, 831-0600, 831-0600, or email ed@wbob.com. AM 600 and 101.1 FM, WBOB.
Sit back, enjoy your Monday morning as we'll try to make your morning commute a little bit quicker, a little bit more entertaining. Ed Dean, Roger Henderson, this is Talk Radio WBOB. As you know, a lot of issues coming up in front of the Supreme Court over the next couple of weeks. Some people are trying to make moves about whether the abortion issue will come up or not down the road. What will happen again when it comes to the issue of unions and immigration out there? Some people are also wondering, because maybe the economic numbers didn't come out that well with the jobs report on Friday, that the only reason why the president talked about putting tariffs, Roger, on Mexico was to take that report off the table and put that one back on when it comes to illegal immigration and border crossings. But the question is, Roger, how bad is it? According to Acting Homeland Security Chief Kevin McAleening, he says, you remember the stories that we had covered, Roger, in 2014, a lot of children coming over unaccompanied by parents, that of 2016. He says it's actually worse when you combine both years.
So we had two prior surges of families and children at the border, 2014 and 2016. At that time, President Obama called it a humanitarian crisis. In the last 2 months alone, we have more than doubled those two full years of crisis. So to give you a sense of how many people are crossing the border, 144,000 last month. When I was in Guatemala last week, a man came up to me and said, hey, we know that bringing a child is a passport for migration to the United States. The smugglers are advertising it. This flow is not going to stop without coordinated efforts with Mexico, but also we still need Congress to act. We still need help both on the fundamental legal loopholes in the framework, but also on funding.
And yet some people are saying that this is a complete joke, that the president really, I mean, over the weekend, he didn't accomplish anything with these tariffs, but not so quick. Fox News is reporting that because of the tariffs and bringing them to the table and trying to get their act together in Mexico by trying to stop the influx of illegal border crossings out there. According to the news, Mexico's even blocking a caravan of 1,000 people trying to enter the U.S.
In a gesture that could help trade talks with Washington, Mexico blocked a new caravan of Central American migrants that illegally crossed into Guatemala heading for the United States. It was about 1,000 in it.
About 1,000 in it. But there are those out there on the left that have said, hey, the president's no longer a first-time incumbent. He is now the incumbent. First-time challenger or second time or somebody who's running for office. No, he's actually incumbent. And according to the left, Nidra Tandon, this is this big left-wing group, Center for American Progress, she says border crossings are way up under President Trump, yet didn't he campaign to stop the influx of what he criticized President Obama about?
I think the issue here for the president is now he's an incumbent. And when he faces re-election, he's going to have a set of facts. The set of facts are that there are more border crossings now than there were 2-3 years ago, and that his policies so far have not succeeded. Every Democrat has recognized that what's happening at the border.
So let me ask this question. Border crossings have gone up higher under President Trump. Why then? Can anybody answer that? Why?
You asking me?
Okay,
here's the reason. He's been talking a lot about stopping the illegal border crossing, so people who want to come here illegally are not putting it off anymore. So they're coming over immediately before they could stop, and then meanwhile, Congress isn't cooperating, so there's now more opportunity to come over, you know, for a longer period of time.
Let me ask this.
If you think the borders are about to shut down, you rush to the border.
I understand. You bring up a good point. you've got, for example, let me not mix apples and oranges, but to your point, mm-hmm. you've got states that are now talking about imposing more gun restrictions. Guess what that does to the gun business? People are buying guns and ammo. They hear that a tax is going to increase. Bam, they're going to buy ammunition left and right. So you are correct on that. Mm. Here's another question. Who advertises for all of the illegal aliens to come over? And I don't know what happens in California. I don't know if you've got business, manufacturing, agriculture. Maybe if it's legal immigration, hey, we need you advertisement, maybe going to Mexico. I don't know, to come over to the U.S., but the smugglers are advertising it. I wonder if they're also advertising by saying, and folks, I'm just asking this, hey, the Democrats are our best friend. Yeah. Trump can't do anything. It's a split Congress between, guys, come on over, we'll take care of you. I wonder if that takes place.
I wonder whether or not, you wonder whether or not there are billboards that are hanging up on posters on walls of buildings in Central America saying, hey, we'll help you get to the U.S. Right now is a good time.
So this got into a big debate over the last couple of days between Neera Tanden, the leftist president of the Center for American Progress, along with Wall Street Journal's Jason Riley. Riley says, listen, when illegal aliens know that the majority of them won't even show up in front of a hearing through an immigration judge, he says, of course illegal aliens are going to take advantage of the asylum laws.
It's a crisis. Lots of Democrats have talked about it. You just said it a minute ago. Democrats have been saying it's a humanitarian crisis. It's a moral crisis.
Democrats are now ignoring the humanitarian crisis.
They're not. Lots of Democrats have talked about it. They just have a different strategy. If you listen to...
The asylum system is being gamed, and Democrats know it. They know that people are showing up on the border with kids because they know they will get into the country and be released. And most of those people released will not show up with their hearing.
That's actually
Democrats
false.
Know that
Roger, you know, wait, I think we just answered our question. Uh-huh. I think in an interesting way. They say that they advertise all of this, come on over, asylum. But if you think the advertisement, we all know what the best advertisement is.
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
Exactly.
So it's that's what
in Spanish.
Yeah, in Spanish, that's what's taking place. But according to the Democrats, no. In fact, listen to this. This sounds very conservative on the issue of immigration and illegal border crossings. Liberal radio talk show host Richard Fowler says, wait a second. Democrats are willing to compromise on many of these issues. See if this sounds familiar with what maybe some of the Republicans have been advocating out there.
What we can do, what Democrats are willing to do today is we're willing to work with Republicans to get more immigration judges. We're willing to work with Republicans on hardening points of entry. We're willing to work with Republicans on finding a way to speed up and modernize our visa system, right? And remember the fact that 90% of the folks coming to our country illegally are because of visa overstays not pouring across our southern border. And these are all things we're willing to work with Republicans on. The question is, are Republicans willing to come to the table and work with us on these
things? I think they've actually gone that way. Even with DACA, he does say something that I think a lot of conservatives have advertised. I think you have to do something about the visa program. Mm-hmm. Those that overstay, why are they overstaying, number one? Number two, we should make it a little bit easier for them, of course, to get legal work status with all the extras that come along with it. And also, I like the idea of having more judges to deal with this, you know, this clogging that's going up in the courts.
Yeah, currently a major backlog, you know, on top of the people not showing up for courts once they get there, they have to wait in line because there's not enough judges.
Is Joe Biden doing well in the polls? Let me ask you out there listening, my friends, is Joe Biden doing well in the polls because he's now becoming a little bit more left-wing? He's changed his view on the Hyde Amendment, or which does not allow taxpayer dollars to federally fund abortions, or is it become he's becoming a little bit, okay, is it because he's more moderate? Or is it because he's become a little bit more left-wing? David Axelrod says, I don't know if Biden's even got the distance in all these primary challenges since he keeps flip-flopping on a lot of issues.
You see that on this issue of the Hyde Amendment. But the other is the way this thing came down. Joe Biden was out on the campaign, and he's not been out that much. And a voter challenged him on the question of Hyde. A video was rolling, and he said he would reverse that policy. Then the next day, the campaign, or when it became to light, the campaign put out a statement and said, no, he still believes in the Hyde Amendment. Then there was a furor, and last night he flipped again. So that was a flip, which is never a good thing.
By the way, I want to remind you, this is David Axelrod, who was the campaign chief strategist for Obama Biden back in 2008.
In politics, and it raises questions about his own performance. But this underscores questions that people have had about whether he can go the distance.
So my question is, if he did so well of just launching his campaign, which really didn't have a lot going on, and he's way up in the polls, is it because he seemed as a moderate? But if he's winning as a moderate, then why does he need to, and he's always supported the Hyde Amendment, why does he need to kind of lower his well, lower his views and become more of a progressive. Maybe he's looking at some internal polls.
When,
I don't know.
When you run in a primary, you have to do, you know, play to the extreme. When you're in the general election, you go after the moderates.
Roger, I would agree with you. But in the polls, according to the primary voters, he is well above. He's up by 12, 15 points among Bernie Sanders out there. If this is the case, why do you need to moderate your views then?
He's got a very comfortable lead. And yes, his poll numbers have dropped a little bit, to be expected. But I think he wants to keep that very, very comfortable lead as comfortable as it possibly can. So I think he's probably moderated it. At least his public statements on it. It may not have even changed in what's going on in his heart, but again, you tell people what you want to do, and it's called pandering.
Some of the recent reports show that here in Florida, there's a latest Florida economic report from the National Federation of Independent Business that says since we don't have a grip on tort reform, guess what? It's costing about 126,000 jobs to be lost here in the state of Florida, and in fact, it's a 7.6 billion dollar annual direct cost that comes out of the taxpayers' back pocket. So I have a lot of this coming up next. Dr. David Diamond, a big story we've been covering. Florida has a physician shortage, and according to the numbers out there, by own Florida numbers, that it could get worse, especially dealing with the bill HB 843, which is to help remedy this by all these non-compete clauses. In other words, if a doctor says, hey, I'm not happy working for a company, I want to go take my patient somewhere else, under non-compete policies, you can kiss that goodbye. We'll have this conversation coming up next. Ed Dean, Roger Henderson. 13 minutes after 7 a.m., this is Talk Radio WBOB.
On I-295 south at U.S. 17, an earlier accident has been cleared, but the backup does remain. We see lots of congestion on the highway there. 10 east at U.S. 17, there's backup, and 95 north at 8th Street, traffic's heavy there.
Here's your community calendar from WBOB.
Saturday, June 15th from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., it's the Fernandina Beach Marketplace Farmers Market on North 7th Street in Fernandina Beach. Saturday, June 15th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., it's the Riverside Arts Market under the Fuller Warren Bridge on Riverside Avenue. And Saturday, June 15th at 12 noon, it's the Great Atlantic Festival 2019 at the Seawalk Pavilion at Jacksonville Beach.
For more information or to have your event included, visit WBOB.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry MyPillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to
get
lose.
Get a two-pack of MyPillow's premiums for $69.98. That's only $34.99 per pillow, which is the lowest price ever offered on radio or TV. This offer is only available at MyPillow.com or call 800-950-9024. Use promo code WBOB.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Imagine your dad high atop a burly, gravely riding lawnmower, deftly navigating through a fun course at the Father Mo's Best 500, Saturday, June 15th at Tools for a Time. Your dad in control of the ultimate mowing machine. He could also win that fabulous machine. Get him signed up to drive in the Father Mo's Best 500 at WBOB.com.
We're expecting lots of rain with thunderstorms today. A high of 88 degrees. This evening, cloudy early, then clearing late. There's a 1 in 5 chance of rain tonight and a low of 74. Right now, it's 73 here at WBOB.
Financial issues with Dan Celia at 9. Dennis Prager at noon. Now back to the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM, WBOB.
And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. An economic report shows lawsuits coming at the expense of Floridians. A new app is being introduced as a way to help reduce violence in schools. And the new poll finds 56% of registered voters see Roe v. Wade as settled law and do not want the courts to review the issue.
Contact the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 WBOB by calling a new number, 831-0600, 831-0600, or email ed at wbob.com. AM 600 and 101.1 FM, WBOB. WBOB.
Don't forget, thousands of you do it every day. Listen to us on your smartphones, Android phones. It's a free download. Just go to the website, WBOB.com, WBOB.com. Let's continue on with the news. As being reported, a big article we did last week in FloridaDaily.com, where Florida is facing a significant physician shortage, and it's only going to get worse. According to the Florida Department of Health's 2018 Physician Workforce Annual Report, around 16.5% of Florida physicians reported that they plan to retire in the next 5 years, and it's only about to get worse. One of the big issues they say also that is not having true access for patients out there, of course, has to deal with non-compete policies. Here on our Newsmaker line, I think this is such a fascinating story, is Dr. David Diamond, who went to the University of Florida and College of Medicine. He's also a radiation oncologist in Winter Park. FloridaRadiation.com is the website. So there's these non-compete policies that I know some companies put into place because they don't want the best and brightest going somewhere else. But no one seems, in this case, Dr. Diamond, when it comes to a doctor shortage, if you got some of these big-time hospitals out there here in the state of Florida, if you got a compete clause that you're not happy working with them or you want to start your own company, and then you've got many of those out there, patients that sit back and say, well, I actually want to have my own doctor, in many cases, that eliminates that for, I guess you could say, consumer choice.
That's exactly correct. There are situations where a physician may be in a practice for many years, and for whatever reason, that individual is not happy with the circumstances, and these non-competes are so overly broad that that physician may not be able to practice for 2 years and 20 miles, not just from his or her primary practice location, but from any location that that hospital or corporate entity has a location. We tend to joke that if someone's unhappy working for one of the big hospital systems, you don't like it, you get to practice medicine somewhere in the Gulf of Mexico. That's completely inappropriate, and it serves no interest to the people of the state of Florida.
Dr. Diamond, how long has this non-compete policy has been going on, especially here in the state of Florida?
Well, of course, companies have had non-compete policies across different businesses for many, many years. But what we're seeing over the past 10 years or so is really that these non-competes have become much longer in scope of time and much broader in terms of geographic footprint. The classic example, for example, is a young doctor may finish medical training, may have a huge debt load, and a large hospital system may be able to offer that young doctor a tremendous starting package, something much greater than he or she could earn if in independent practice. The problem is after those first 2 or 3 years of employment are up, if the terms are bad, if that doctor wants to go somewhere else, that doctor's stuck. It's no like the old movie The Firm, where the young attorney is hired, right?
That's right.
Gets a fancy house, fancy schools for the kids, and all of a sudden there's some shenanigans going on. You're in a world of hurt. It's not right.
Yeah, it's either the I saw that movie quite, I know it quite well. Either the mob whacks you or the law firm whacks you.
That's right. That's right.
But Dr. Diamond, let me throw a barrage at you here. And I'm not trying to put you in a position on one of these issues as far as the reason why we may have doctor shortages. You've got a lot of that with the Medicaid where doctors everybody thinks that doctors are all so filthy wealthy that, you know, why don't we have at least cost control? But yet, as many people, you know, I've reported for this as years as a journalist, doctors also employ physician's assistants. They also employ help, nurses as well. They have to pay them out. Also, whether or not you agree with Obamacare, that has put shortage on doctors as well. Is this area just getting worse with the non-compete policies? Or some would say, Dr. Diamond, hey, listen, are we not having enough kids going to, education when it comes to, for example, at University of Florida, or college, when it comes to getting in the hospital services out there? Is this just all the perfect storm trickling down here?
Well, it is a perfect storm, but I think individuals are not asking the real question at hand. The real question that we as a country should be facing is this: why is the cost of healthcare exploding when access and outcomes are not meaningfully improved? That's the question that we should be asking, Ed. And I would put it to you that there's obviously a lot of important components, but some of the key issues are issues with supply and demand of physician because of issues like non-competes. Another huge issue is this issue of site neutral pricing. What I mean by that is right now, Ed, let's say you need a colonoscopy. You go to your primary, you go to your independent physician, have a colonoscopy done. Perhaps the insurance is charged $1,200, $1,400. Mm. But if that gastroenterologist, if that practice tomorrow is purchased by a hospital system and now is being billed under the hospital tax ID number, that office is considered an outpatient provider-based department.
Right.
So for the same exact service, the same exact physician, same exact procedure, same outcomes, instead of being $1,200 or $1,400, it could be $10,000. So whether you have commercial insurance or Medicare, we are being ripped off. And this is the question that is not being asked. Obamacare, all this other stuff, is a secondary, it's important, but a secondary issue. A third issue that I would bring to your attention is vertical integration of care, monopolistic care. Patients are told that they have no choice where to go. Person sick, person listens to their trusted physicians and surgeons and have no idea that he or she can go a half mile down the road, get that same exact MRI for one-fourth or one-fifth the cost. This is ridiculous. What other aspect of our economy do we have where one has no idea what the out-of-pocket expense is going to be prior to a scheduled service being performed? It's crazy, Ed.
Here's on our newsmaker line, Dr. David Diamond is, of course, a radiation oncologist out of Winter Park, Florida. Great town, by the way. The website, Florida Radiation, flradiation.com. This all deals with a big bill about Governor Ron DeSantis. They're hoping that he would sign it. House Bill H-43, sponsored by State Representative Ray Rodriguez. In the state of Florida, everything is a federal issue, Dr. Diamond, but no, in the state of Florida, you can deal with competitive costs and deal with the issue of doctor shortages. This story about whether or not with non-compete policies and how to keep your doctor if you want it, why is this story so underreported?
Well, I think physicians don't have the presence in the media that they once had. This bill, 843, is a really good common sense bill. The governor really wants to do meaningful health care reform. This is a very, very good baby step. In this particular bill, the non-compete provisions really are quite limited in that in a county where a monopoly exists, that non-competes should be voided. This is basic common sense steps that benefit communities and should be just the first of many steps to follow.
Dr. Diamond, let me throw as I always do as a journalist, let me throw a different, like a curveball question, which I know you'll answer, but you'll forgive me if I don't ask it properly here. When you talk about how when you go, for example, you have your doctor, but yet on some of the outpatients, which we've described in some of our articles at floridadaily.com, which you've talked about, which, again, could cost a lot of those when it comes to consumers, a lot more out of pocket. If you've got a, forgive me for a second, but I don't want to go back to the days of the little house on the prairie style, but if you've got a doctor who is independent compared to the big conglomerates we see out there, and again, correct me where I'm right or wrong here, and you could work out payment negotiations with your personal doctor that doesn't have to go with none of these non-compete clauses, many people are happy with that. You can pay so much amount of money per month. Is that sometimes much better than dealing with a bigger area of dealing with like Health First, not to beat up on them, or Baptist Health or St. Vincent's, that may sit back and may not be able to negotiate the way how you may be able to pay off a certain type of surgery?
Well, certainly, anything that improves the competition within the marketplace is good for the consumer. In certain communities, there are large vertically integrated healthcare systems that essentially are monopolistic. They can demand from the insurance companies higher payments. Mm. And that's what happens. So we have areas of the state of Florida, for example, Central Florida. Central Florida is one of the most expensive healthcare markets in the United States. How can that be? How can we have a healthcare marketplace that's more expensive than, let's say, San Francisco? How can that be? And the only reason that exists is because there is anti-competitive or monopolistic activity going on that drives up prices.
Now, Dr. Diamond, real quick, this bill doesn't sit back and say this is going to be a one-size-fits solution. This may take several years, but what you have said before, this really gets the ball going down the road for more consumer choice.
Absolutely. This is a great first step, And it's very difficult to have an argument with this particular provision. Again, in this bill, it simply addresses what happens in counties where a true monopoly exists. So, for example, all of the specialists within a given specialty are employed by one entity. In that very limited case, the non-competes would be voided. So this is just a baby first step. And going forward, what we really ought to be talking about as a community is trying to allow more physicians, more right. choice, and not be bound by these crazy non-compete terms.
Dr. Diamond, I enjoyed having you come on. Let's do it again real soon.
Thank you so much, Ed.
All right. Ed Dean, Roger Henderson. 27 minutes after 7 a.m. Talk Radio WBOB.
295 South at US 17. An earlier wreck has been cleared, but the backup remains.
Here's Dan Celia with today's Stewardship Moment.
Do you ever stop to think that one of the things God has created us for was to praise and to give worship to Him? One of the greatest songs and praises in the Bible to me is Luke 1:46 through 47. Mary is responding to Elizabeth's reminder that she is blessed and a part of the prophecy which told of her. In her spontaneous song of praise, Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior." Are you rejoicing in God our Savior?
You've just heard a Stewardship Moment with Dan Celia of Financial Issues Ministry, helping you plan, give, and invest wisely. For more information, log on to financialissues.org. That's financialissues.org.
There's an 80% chance of a thunderstorm today and a high of 88. This evening, early clouds, then clearing. Overnight, below 74, about a 1 in 5 chance of rain tonight. And right now, it's 73 at WBOB.
You know, when I have, to me, the healthcare, this is such a big issue about the non-compete policies. I mean, you sit back and say, okay, I'm not happy working for these guys. I don't like the way, maybe you don't like the way some of these people are at and whatever. And you sit back and say, I want to be able to take my consumers, my clients with me. Well, with the non-compete policy, you can't do it.
Yeah.
So it's kind of interesting.
But their hands are already kind of tight with the insurance company. Most people have employer-based insurance, and if it's out of network, you're kind of tied
there as well. Yeah, I think you should have a little bit more consumer choice and not some of the non-compete policies.
Exactly.
Coming up next, my friend Bill Hurley, who is the state executive director for the National Federation of Independent Business, says, listen, we got to do something about tort reform. Not many people are talking about it. It's costing Floridians billions of dollars. We're going to talk about that coming up next. 29 minutes after 7 a.m. Talk Radio WBOB.
Talk Radio AM 600 101.1 FM WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Without revealing details, President Trump says the U.S. has signed another very important part of an immigration and security deal with Mexico. On Twitter this morning, Mr. Trump says Mexican lawmakers will have to sign off on the deal in order for it to take effect. And if they don't, the president vows tariffs will be reinstated. It happened during a powerful storm with high winds. A construction crane toppled onto an apartment building in Dallas yesterday afternoon. One person was killed, five others injured. Former Boston Red Sox star David Ortiz, recovering from a gunshot wound, suffered while he was in a nightclub in the Dominican Republic. There's been no information on a motive for the attack, but authorities say they do have a suspect in custody. On Wall Street, Dow futures up 116 points. S&P futures 12 points higher. More details at srnnews.com.
Good morning at 295 going south at US 17. There is a lot of backup there. Earlier there was a crash. That's been clear, but the congestion lingers. 10 east at US 17, we're seeing backup there just before Cassett. And at 95 north at 8th Street, traffic is heavy. We're expecting around an 80% chance of rain today and a high of 88 this evening. Cloudy early and then clearing late, a 1 in 5 chance of rain tonight, 74 the low. Right now it's 73 here at WBOB. And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. After a decade-long pay freezes, congressional Democrats are looking to give Congress a pay increase. The White House says they've accomplished a big victory dealing with Mexico and illegal border crossings. And Governor Ron DeSantis signs legislation that makes it tougher to change Florida's constitution through petition drives.
Contact the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 WBOB by calling a new number, 831-0600, 831-0600, or email ed@wbob.com. AM 600 and 101.1 FM. WBOB.
For those of you just tuning in this weekend, Roger and I are going to be at a big event for Father's Day. Father Mo's Best 500. Go figure who comes up with the name of that, but I like it. By the way, that's M-O-W-S, not M-O-E-S, like from the Three Stooges. Anyway, we're going to be out there this Saturday around 10 a.m. at Tools for a Time off Old St. Augustine Road in the Mandarin out there. Now, folks, this is one of these expensive lawnmowers you can win. You'll ride around, go real fast. You're going to have races out there, correct?
There'll be a race, yeah. Every race participant, every dad, will have to register beforehand to get a race number, and then there's an obstacle course you'll have to maneuver around with.
Do you have to show ID? It's a joke. Go ahead.
No, for sure. I guess if you win it, but you know, there are cones you're going to try to avoid hitting. If you hit it, you get penalized a little bit.
Right.
And it's a lot of fun. We do it every year at Tools for a Time. Some dad is going to win the riding lawnmower, and there'll be a runner-up prize with a push lawnmower.
Those lawnmowers are worth thousands. So it's going to be a good lawnmower you can get.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, Sonny's Barbecue is going to be out there. We're going to have, as you point out, bounce houses. It's going to be this Saturday. Coming up June the 15th, and it's the day before Father's Day. Ladies, you want to get a gift for that boyfriend, husband, father, your kids, whatever the situation may be. Combine it together like my family does, cheap heels. But anyway.
If he wins it, right?
That's right. That way they can win the lawnmower. We have over a couple hundred that have already signed up.
Right.
And a lot of people just want to hang out. We're going to take pictures, put them on the Facebook website, on the station's website. Again, but the only way you can do it, you've got to register. You just can't show up. You can show up if you want, but in order to register to win the lawnmowers and prizes, you got to go to the website, WBOB.com. Again, that's WBOB.com, Sonny's Barbecue, everything else this Saturday around 10 a.m., right?
Yeah, 10 o'clock and probably till about 1 in the afternoon. A lot of fun, a lot of racing going on. You can just show up if you want to just watch, but to race, you have to register.
All right. Ed Dean, let's continue on with the news. A new Florida economic report shows that lawsuits are coming at the expense of Floridians and the taxpayers. Out with that story right now, our good friend, he is the state executive director of the National Federation of Independent Business here in Florida. Go to NFIB.com, my friend Bill Hurley. So, Bill, you guys got a big press conference coming up on Wednesday that talks about the issue of tort cost in many of these major cities. So it's not like one of these, let's just wave the magic wand and tell you what it is overall. You're breaking it down and what some of these areas have been talking about in the cities and how much it's costing taxpayers. Bill, this is a story that really hasn't been covered over the last few years.
Good morning, Ed, and it's great to talk with you. The NFIB released some numbers from a study that puts a fine point on the cost of litigation in this state. And statewide, what we found is that litigation costs $7.6 billion in direct costs annually across the entire state. It has an $11.8 billion cost in gross product annually, and potentially costs 126,000 jobs. Now, the interesting thing is when you spread this across the state, we did that across the 12 MSAs, the metropolitan statistical areas, across the state, and there were some wide variances. Across the 12 regions, anyone want to play a guessing game at what city came in number one? Well, the answer is Miami, at an annual tort tax of $979 per person.
Wow.
Surprisingly, coming in second place was my very own town of Tallahassee, your state capital. Go ahead and offer an explanation for that. And I think, you know, sometimes the most obvious reason is the most obvious reason, and that is that litigators cause litigation. So I suspect that if you overlaid a map of where the densest population of trial lawyers are per person, that's where you're going to see the highest litigation costs. Now, what about Jacksonville? Jacksonville had something to talk about. They came in close right to the middle of the pack. And I will say it was probably one of the largest metropolitan areas with a lower number. To give you some sense of scale, the least cost for the tort tax in Florida was the Daytona region with an annual tort tax of $133. Now, listen, these are some big numbers. You know, when we talk about the tort system costing $7.6 billion in Florida annually, that is the whole roll-up. That's the roll-up of the cost of all the awards, all the settlements, all the attorney fees. And hear me clearly, because I'm known to be a opponent of the trial bar, but we're not saying that every last dollar is a specious, frivolous lawsuit. And we're not saying that the defendants are always right nor are they always wrong. We're saying that's the total cost. But let's take a very reasonable look at how much that costs the economy. Because in the end, while the justice system is very important and we respect it and it achieves important things in society, it is all friction costs in our economy.
Hey, Bill, let me ask you a quick question. By the way, we're talking with Bill Hurley. He is the state executive director of the National Federation of Independent Business here in Florida. He's out of Tallahassee. Bill, compare these numbers. I know I'm going to get the emails later on. Is this considered a lower number than what we've seen? Again, real quick, just for the audience tuning in, there's a big annual report that's coming out that the NFIB is leading the charge, or at least leading the report out there, where it shows that economics, that lawsuits are coming at the expense of taxpayers or Floridians, around $7.6 billion in annual direct costs that come out of your back pocket. Bill, is this number high, about the same it's been over the last several years, or is it lower?
Florida's known to be a litigious state. There are other anomalies out there. We're on a per capita basis. The environment is more difficult. But for a large state, we are among the most litigious. And it's a large portion of the state's gross domestic product that's being spent on resolving disputes and reducing friction in society. And again, it's not all bad. We know there are disagreements out there that need to be resolved in a court of law. What we're saying is let's take a real clear-eyed look at the cost of it, and let's look at some reasonable measures to try to reduce that.
Bill, let me ask you a question. What is the, when you come out with this week now, I know you already know this. What is what are the trial lobby, the Florida Trial Lawyers Association, what will be their response?
Well, I guess you need to get them on the line to ask them. And I will tell you, it will be loud. I will tell you that they are among the most visible and present group in the Capitol. You know, I guess it's just in their nature to want to debate and want to argue. And we see them in the Capitol all the time. I can probably pick out a dozen trial lawyers on any given day. But for the business owners who raise arguments against them, it's difficult. You know, they're there behind the cash register, behind the counter, in their service truck, doing the important things that keep society moving, servicing their customers. And they just can't take a day off to go lobby in Tallahassee against the trial lawyers that seem like they're up here all session long.
Now, Bill, hold on. Bill, you said some common sense approaches. What has happened, or tell me what's even possibly being proposed that may gain some traction, as you say, common sense approaches to deal with tort reform?
Well, first of all, there was some good stuff this year, and I got to give credit where credit is due. The legislature, after a six-year debate, finally passed something to rein in the assignment of benefits, called AOB,
right,
problem. That was a real drag on homeowners insurance and the bottom line of people getting their homes fixed when damage occurs. So let's give credit where credit is due. It was a good bill, but it was a very long, difficult effort. So we looked at, my gosh, it took them, you know, 6 years to accomplish this. I will tell you that a lot of other good ideas got set by the wayside while that was being done. So while we're announcing these numbers, we're just highlighting four good ideas that the legislature should consider next year. The first is litigation financing. And this is something that most people haven't heard of. And if they have, they think of it in the big picture, massive class action lawsuits or lawsuits that are taking down a major corporate figure. And, of course, that litigation must be financed in some way. What we're discovering is that this is being done on a much smaller scale. And small lawsuits, garden variety lawsuits, are being aggregated and packaged as financial instruments for speculation. And I think that if the Florida voter comes to learn that in many, many lawsuits, there's a third party out there somewhere. They could be in Las Vegas, they could be in New York, who has a financial interest in the outcome of it, I think they'd be concerned. So we're going to be proposing legislation that just pulls this into the daylight and says, when there are speculators behind the outcome of a piece of litigation, that needs to be known by the jurors. The second issue we're going to take a look at is truth and damages, and this did get aired out in the legislature this year, but again, it was set by the wayside as they focused on the assignment of benefits issue. But the truth and damages law would say that jurors will get a chance to look at the actual and real medical bills that have been paid and that have been charged. You might be surprised to learn that when it comes in a medical case, when they tally up the medical damages, a lot of them are totally fictitious. They are a number that is picked out of the sky. It is never actually charged of the injured party, and yet it becomes a very real part of the claim that must be paid.
Hey, Bill, I'm up against the clock. I got to get running. But this is going to come out on Wednesday. And then if people want to find out further details, they can go to NFIB.com.
Absolutely. The National Federation of Independent Business. Just Google NFIB and you'll go right to it. You can go right to our state page and see a summary of this release as well as the full, all the numbers from across the 12 regions.
And I know we're going to be covering that as well. Bill Hurley, State Executive Director for the National Federation of Independent Business. Bill, good to have you on today.
Thank you.
All right. 44 minutes after 7 a.m., 904-831-0600, Talk Radio, WBOB.
Well, I-295 South at U.S. 17, there's been a crash. We're seeing lots of backup there on the traffic camps. And 295 South on the Dames Point Bridge, there's a broken-down car this morning. We're seeing that one on the right.
You may be on the cutting edge of business technology, or you may be slow to come around. Either way, let my friends at CopyFax help you manage your documents. Hi, it's Brian Sexton. The business professionals at CopyFax will help you clear out your filing cabinets and create more usable space for your team by creating a simple but powerful document management solution. Check out their full-service website at CopyFax.com, and you'll see the future of document storage and management.
Simplify your document storage today, 296-1600 or CopyFax.com.
Do you know who was voted the Bold City's best plumber? Roland Reisch Plumbing. Here's why. Roland Reisch Plumbing promises great work on time and does it. The good news spreads fast. For all plumbing issues, large or small, you want the Bold City's best. Click plumber in Jacks.com. Your friends and neighbors have used them, and that's why they went to Jacksonville.com to vote Roland Reisch Plumbing Jacksonville's top plumber. 24/7, Roland Reisch Plumbing is standing by, whether it's routine work or a middle-of-the-night emergency. Just call 904-260-7059. If you have a leak, can't wait a week, please call Roland Reisch Plumbing at 904-260-7059. Roland Reisch Plumbing is proud to have been voted Bold City's best plumber. They intend to stay number one. Call 904-260-7059. Call 904-260-7059.
tired of pre-recorded financial shows that try to scare you into buying annuities and life insurance products? I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee. Together we host the Van Wee Financial Hour, live every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Van Wee Financial is a fee-only financial planning and asset management company here on Florida's First Coast.
We bring you current financial information and analysis without the scare tactics.
Most of all, we answer your financial and investing questions live on the air.
Tune into the Van Wee Financial Hour and call us every Saturday morning at 10 right here on AM 600 and FM 101.1 WBOB.
Lots of rain with thunderstorms today. We'll have a high of 88. This evening, cloudy early, then clearing late. A 1 in 5 chance of rain expected tonight and a low of 74. Right now, it's 73 at WBOB.
Financial issues with Dan Celia at 9 this morning. Now, back to the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM. WBOB.
And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. A new app is being introduced as a way to help reduce violence in schools. A new poll finds that 56% of registered voters see Roe v. Wade as settled law and do not want the court to review the issue. And an economic report show lawsuits coming at the expense of Floridians.
Contact the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 WBOB by calling a new number, 831-0600, 831-0600, or email ed@wbob.com. AM 600 and 101.1 FM, WBOB.
So currently Congress makes $174,000 a year. I think the House Speaker and leadership might make a little bit more. Now, congressional Democrats say that they want to give everybody, not just themselves, but because they've done such a great job. Green New Deal, look at reparations, impeachment. I mean, why are they only stopping there? It should go for more money, I guess. They're doing such a bang-up job. They say that there's a bipartisan support, even from the Republicans, to increase their pay. They make $174,000 a year. Now they want to propose it to about a $4,500 pay increase. There's been a freeze over the last decade of no pay increases. So now it's going to be about a 2.5%.
So 10 years with no raise.
10% with no raise. So Roger says they need a pay raise.
Yeah.
Roger says they're not making enough money. Roger says they have to fund two houses, one in D.C., and another one in whatever district they live. I say no. Roger says yes.
I think that when you have to have two households, you know, the Congress people, they have families they have to support, provide for. If the family chooses to live in D.C., very expensive for the private schools in the area, cost a lot more money. It's just a very expensive city to live in, and you're asking our congressman to maintain two households. It's an apples versus oranges comparison when you compare it to the average person, because we don't have to maintain two households.
All right, so is Roger correct? I'm getting liberals. He's the liberal of the day. That's what I could say. That's not me. That's what they're saying.
Thank you.
904-831-0600. 904-831-0600. Roger says, hey, listen, they haven't had a pay increase in 10 years. Why not give them a pay increase? All right? Why not give them a pay increase? It's only 2.6%. For crying out loud, it's only an extra $4,500 a year. I say no, but maybe I'm wrong. Roger says, yes, we need to be giving them a pay increase because why? They've got a place in D.C. and a place down here or whatever, and it's not enough money. Does Roger have a point? 831-0600, 831-0600. So a lot of people want to weigh in on this, so let's go to some calls. Let's go to Brian. Hey, Brian, good morning. What's happening?
Not a whole lot. So here's my thought. It might be kind of controversial, but in the real world, if you can't afford two houses, you don't buy two houses. So if you can't afford to be a representative, why are you running for that office?
Let's say that I got it by the will of the people. They decided, Brian, that I must be to represent them. And guys, I don't have enough money, but I'm trying to do the good Lord's work. Some would say I need a pay increase.
Okay.
So I guess that's
Let me ask you this question. Well, gosh, okay.
The
only thing is when you go to that route, then you're saying that the only people that can really qualify to run for Congress are those who are independently wealthy. Do you want just to have millionaires as a prerequisite to serve in Congress?
I don't know if I buy into it. If you can't afford it. No. Some people can't afford it. They just want to do some good work out there. But they can't afford it. I don't know. I'm not necessarily saying they have to have two houses. Maybe they can shack up with somebody. I don't mean shack up that way. I mean, like, right, you know, maybe combine like you do in Tallahassee, everybody get an apartment. Let's go to Bert. Hey, Bert, good morning. How are you?
Ed Dean, how are you?
Hey, good morning.
Good. You know, these people are not forced to serve in Congress. They chose to run knowing what the salary was and the benefits were, and I suspect if one went away that there would be another 20 lined up to take the job.
Yeah.
Okay, so but Bert, hold on. There are a lot of ministers that are, they claim want to do the work to be a benefit to society. Some claim to do the good Lord's work. I'm not saying that's the members of Congress. They don't make enough money, but yet they're doing it to help out for the betterment of their local citizen. How do you answer that?
Well, I would say that every elected official I've ever met at one point talks about servant leadership.
Right.
And wanting to have a servant's heart. And certainly we know that ministers qualify for that. But these members of Congress that somehow think that they're special and they're entitled to a raise, I reject it.
All right, so no raise whatsoever, correct?
I think we should cut their pay.
What do you think they should make?
All right, let's go to. I'm up against the clock here. Let's go to Lawrence. Hey, Lawrence, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey.
No, they don't need a raise. Now, what we need to do is build like a compound that they can live in, like the military.
I agree with that. Yeah. I suggested that earlier.
No, yeah, you said a condo, not a compound.
Well, what's the difference?
No, big difference.
Yeah, I want a compound. I want to be able to, you know, where they are at all times. If anything, if we start paying them by the hour, we'll start seeing how very little gets done there. And, you know, they would their pay would be cut drastically.
What should they make? Roger asked the question. What should they make each year then?
I think that is fair to give them about. Well, I had an idea years ago to give them $1 million a year, but all their staff, all their travel, everything comes out of that.
Hmm. You know? I think that might be a little too much. Travel. I mean, folks, they only work.
You're talking about a staffing, and you know,
they only work. Okay, they actually the staff works all time around. I think the staff should be paid more money if you want to go down that route. But these guys always show up to D.C. about 150 days out of the year. But then again, they have to do stuff back.
And the district, they have international trips. It's a full-time job.
International trips. All right, let's go to John. Hey, John, good morning.
Hello.
Hey, yes, sir.
I say no on the raise.
Why not?
I don't agree on the having to maintain two households. There's a lot of people out there today, including myself, that have kids in college and they're away and they're going through the same type of situations, having to maintain apartments, homes, cars, insurance, living expenses. So to me, it's the same thing.
What do you think they should make per year, John?
You know, I don't know. I don't have a good answer for that. I don't know. I don't really know, but
I don't think anybody has a good answer for that, John. In fact, I don't think half the time when legislation comes in front of them, they alone have a good answer for that. So thank you for the call. Let's go to Joel. Joel, you're on WBOB.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, good morning,
you
sir.
You want to talk about, thank you. You want to talk about not making enough money? Let them do what the military does. I had to live on board ship. My family was back home. I had to support myself when I was out at sea, when I got off Liberty in different ports, and I had hardly anything to spend on anything because I was having to give my money back home. You want to talk about another thing? How about their health insurance? Give me their health insurance, too.
That's right.
Let me have what they have.
Yeah, that's. I think a lot of people might resonate with you on that one, Joel. 831-0600-904-831-0600. What should Congress make per year? Kind of curious on that one. 55 minutes after 7 a.m., talk radio, WBOB.
I-95 South near the airport. There's been a crash this morning. We are watching traffic cams, and we currently don't see a lot of backup there. 295 South at US 17, a lot of congestion there due to an earlier accident.
I'm Lou Dimes. Barnes & Noble starts the new week with a new owner and the Labor Department's JOLT report set for release. FedEx cutting cargo ties with Amazon. Those stories next.
Are you a stock or options trader looking for real trading strategies that you can use immediately? Hi, my name is Scott Bauer, CEO of Prosper Trading Academy, and I'm on a mission to become the number one options coach in America. I'm a former vice president at Goldman Sachs. I have over 25 years of options trading experience, and right now, I'm giving away my most famous options guide with over 20 unique options strategies that I use every day for free. You can't buy this guide anywhere. To claim your free options trading guide, simply call 855-892-2307 now and mention my name, Scott Bauer, and we will rush you the guide. Call 855-892-2307. 2307, and someone from my options team will help you get this guide in your inbox as quickly as possible. Call 855-892-2307 now and start learning to trade the right way. Call 855-892-2307. Prosper with options.
Stocks and options trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors.
Barnes & Noble, the bookstore chain that many people blame for the demise of independent bookstores, has itself fallen on hard times at the hands of Amazon.com. Late last week, a hedge fund buying Barnes & Noble for about $500 million. The hedge fund plans to take the chain private once the transaction is completed. And on the heels of Friday's soft hiring report, the Labor Department today released its JOLTS survey on job openings and labor turnover. That report may provide another clue as to when the Fed will cut interest rates. With Amazon investing $1.5 billion in a new air cargo hub in Kentucky, FedEx has chosen not to renew its contracts with Amazon for cargo delivery. The two companies will still cooperate on parcel deliveries. Please join me for Lou Dimes tonight, 7 o'clock and 10 Eastern, on the Fox Business Network. This is the Lou Dimes Financial Report.
I'm Clayton Bromberg, the president of Underwoods. As a sixth-generation jeweler, a question I get a lot is what kind of watch do you wear? The answer's a Rolex, and there are a couple of reasons. First, when my grandfather gave me a gift for graduating from college, he said, "I want you to have something that you'll always remember me for." And he gave me the Rolex watch that I wear today. Now, more than 35 years later, it still runs and looks as good as it did the day I got it, a day I'll never forget. It might be the right time for you to create the same kind of memory, and nothing does it better than a Rolex from Underwoods. Whether it's a lady's or a man's, the watch is waterproof and has the classic good looks that make Rolex the watch people want to own. And at Underwoods, all of our Rolexes carry a 5-year guarantee. So stop by Underwoods in San Marco, Avondale, or the Shops of Ponte Vedra, and let Rolex create a memory for you.
We are expecting lots of rain, thunderstorms, and the like this afternoon at a high of 88 when the sun is out. This evening will be cloudy early, then clearing late, a 1 in 5 chance of rain, and a low of 74. 73 currently at WBOB.
Contact the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 WBOB. By calling a new number, 831-0600, 831-0600, or email ed at wbob.com. AM 600 and 101.1 FM, WBOB.
A lot of people weighing in on the pay increase for Congress. We'll get to that in a few moments. Just kind of entertaining out here. Ed at WBOB.com. I'll make sure Roger gets them too, by the way. Ed at WBOB.com. We'll get to that issue in a few moments. Also, the left says, no, you can't be. If somebody commits a crime with a gun violence in schools or shootings that take place, you can't say, well, was that guy on drugs, that gal, she have a bad breakup, were they high? No, you're not asking the right question. The bottom line is, you shouldn't be asking any questions. The question is, how come we're not limiting guns? I got that clip. Oh, my word. All of this coming up next, 904-831-0600. Talk Radio WBOB.